Welcome to Big Shakti's Light on Yoga and Meditation podcast. My name is Dr. Swami Shankardev. I'm a yoga acharya, medical doctor, psychotherapist, and Vedic astrologer. And I'm a co-creator of Big Shakti along with my partner, Jane Stevenson.
And today we want to talk about self-awareness, self-regulation, and self-mastery. So the one thing that is essential and core to all of the teachings on Big Shakti is the concept of self-awareness. And in episode 4 of the podcast, we did share part of lesson 3 from the Light on the Chakras and Kundalini Training Masterclass series, in which we made a deep dive into the concept of self-awareness. And self-awareness is the unchanging principle in life. It's the central concept in all of yoga, yoga tantra, and meditative practice. The core aim of all wisdom traditions is self-awareness or self-knowledge. Know thyself and unto thyself be true is the ancient dictum that's been passed down through the ages. In this episode, we'll discuss self-awareness and how it relates to self-regulation and self-mastery. And the key thing to remember is that self-awareness is the key. It's reflected consciousness, and consciousness is the transcendent, unchanging principle. And that's why it's so important to cultivate self-awareness. And this is because when you're self-aware, you are outside, you're transcendent, you're outside of all the problems and challenges of life. You're in yourself. And if you're not in yourself, then you're lost. The self, which is the you, the real you, is the center around which your life revolves. And life revolving around you is composed of energy. And this energy can be gross, so that we can see it, touch it, and feel it. It can also be subtle, so that we can, well, we can't see it, but we can experience it, for example, through air pressure or thoughts or a sense of loving kindness or anger and so on. Or energy can be causal. And this concept of causal energy is found in physics, which describes forms of extremely subtle energy, such as atomic particles, and energy that's both, which is paradoxical because it exists both in the form of particles and waves. And causal energy, this concept of something that causes things, is described in Eastern philosophy, where it's described as spiritual energy, the energy of consciousness. And it is said to be the ground from which all existence arises. In this regard, self-awareness is the essential concept in all yoga and meditations because it focuses on awakening consciousness. And the more conscious we are, the better. When our consciousness is developed, we become very sensitive and able to perceive life with greater clarity and depth and subtlety. We're able to experience the more subtle forms of energy and therefore to have subtler experiences. We're not just limited to gross sensory experience. And advanced yogis have purified and refined their perception and their consciousness to such a degree that they can perceive causal energy, which is the energy of the self or spiritual energy, the energy of the highest self. So once you're self-aware, you can begin to self-regulate, which means you can adjust your body and mind, your reactions and your responses, and your interaction with life. You're able to have greater self-control and to feel more grounded and stable while you experience the ever-changing energies around you, no matter what form they take, gross, subtle, or, if you're lucky, causal. So we're going to discuss the relationship between self-awareness and self-regulation and how this dyad, this very important dyad, leads to self-mastery. And self-mastery is a state in which you're highly self-aware and you have a very clear understanding of how to be, of how to be in the world and how to be in life in a way that works. And practicing meditations that cultivate self-awareness is a process of focusing attention back onto ourselves, to the unchanging principle, the transcendent center within us, the transcendent center of consciousness and around which the body and mind revolve. So this is the first thing to develop. And once we've developed that, we can learn to control the body and mind because we can see what's happening. We are conscious of what's going on, and we're self-aware. We're able to go, okay, this is me, this is my mind, this is my body. What do I need to do now? But before we discuss self-awareness and self-regulation, let's briefly discuss what is the self. And this concept of self is multifaceted and has been explored and described in many different fields, including psychology and philosophy and spirituality, and it's even come into the field of physics. Yoga philosophy and yoga psychology both recognize that there are two distinct types of self. And these are, number one, the little self, which is an egoic self, and the egoic self is at the center of the conscious mind and is the basis of our individuality. And the universal or cosmic self, the highest self, is the totality of who we are. It includes the ego, the conscious mind, and the unconscious. And the big self, with a capital S, is the ocean of consciousness within which the conscious mind has evolved, has arisen over millions of years of evolution. And this universal self, this cosmic self, is the foundation of everything that exists. Becoming aware of the highest self is the final step on the meditative path to total enlightenment and self-realization. And most spiritual work focuses on initially calming and strengthening and integrating the egoic self, the little self, and then bringing it into a relationship with the highest self. And all the techniques that we teach first work on cultivating a strong, clear sense of the little self, the egoic self, a sense of who we are in the world. And as I said, the little self, the ego, is the center of our conscious mind. Then the techniques that we teach will guide us deeper into the vast unconscious, which we can call the shadow, the deeper mind, the psyche. And it's in this part of us, in the unconscious or the psyche, that we can discover our inner powers and strengths, the trans-egoic parts of us, the parts of us that transcend the ego, that we call the non-ego self, where we find our personal myths, our various archetypes, and all the deep, powerful forces of the psyche that drive our outer life. And when we are unconscious of the deeper self, we live a very superficial life. And when we become more self-aware and in touch with our own unconscious, we have a kind of rebirth and enter into a whole new dimension of self. This is still in the realm of the little self, but it's a much bigger little self than the little self that was unconscious of its own inner depth. So you're expanding the sense of who you are. I'm much more than this socially constructed self. I'm part of something much greater. I'm still not identified with that greater self. I'm still identified with a little part of me, but I'm expanding, growing, becoming aware of my power, my strength, my capacity for wisdom and compassion and empathy and so on. And it's only when we touch the universal self, the cosmic self, that we can transcend the little self and enter into a whole new realm of evolution. And this is the final stage in human evolution. So as I said previously, most spiritual work focuses on initially calming and strengthening and integrating the little self, the egoic self, then bringing it into relationship with a higher self, and ultimately transcending your identity with your little self and becoming identified with the higher self, which is the ultimate definition of yoga. So now that we've got a brief understanding of the self, let's discuss self-awareness. What is it? From a psychological point of view, self-awareness is the ability to recognize and understand our own thoughts and emotions and desires and impulses and behaviors. It involves being conscious of our inner experiences and how they influence our actions and interactions with the world. And when we practice self-awareness, we don't attempt to change anything. We simply observe things as they are. And this is common in most mindfulness forms of meditation, that encourage us to pay attention to our thoughts, our feelings, our bodily sensations in the present moment. And mindfulness meditations involve observing ourselves objectively without judgment, so that we get to see, we get this insight into what our mind is like, the inner states. What is the state of my mind? What is the state of my emotions? What's going on in me? What do I have that's working? What do I need to change? So mindfulness meditations help us to identify the patterns and the triggers and the underlying beliefs that drive our actions, our behavior, our karma, and our relationships. But self-awareness is a kind of deeper and more important element in this process, because it cultivates awareness of ourselves as a conscious observer or witness called the seer, the drashta in Sanskrit. And the more self-aware we are, the more mindful we can be. So if we're just mindful, we're present, we're in the moment, but are we self-aware at the same time? Are we just present and aware of what's going on around us? Or are we saying, look, I'm aware of myself and I'm aware of what's going on in the world around us? And we cultivate this through meditations like inner silence, called antarmo, inner silence, or we can also use any form of journaling or self-reflection that helps us to see ourselves more clearly. So now, what is self-regulation? Self-regulation is the ability to influence our body, our mind, our feelings, our desires, and behaviors. It's the ability to manage and modulate our emotions and the behavioral responses. And it's a very important skill to have. It's a self-control. However, to have this self-control and successfully self-regulate, we first need to be self-aware. So we're building on self-awareness and developing an awareness of what we need. And then we say, okay, I need this. I need to learn to control myself in these situations in particular. So I'm taking conscious control over my reactions. And then we become more responsive and we become less reactive. And as we gain a kind of clearer perception of our inner being and our inner states, we can choose how to respond rather than react impulsively. And this creates a more stable sense of self, a more emotional stability, and greater adaptability. And most of Big Shakti's meditations, the guided meditations we teach, focus on self-regulation, but we always start off with self-awareness before applying a technique. So we say, what's going on? What do I need? Apply the technique, self-regulate, then come back to self-awareness. For example, we may use the breath or a mantra or some other technique to create a positive feeling or create an altered state, maybe a more relaxed, open state of mind. And once we've created this state, then we go back to practicing self-awareness to observe the changes we've created. And then we can recognize our ability to influence our inner being. And this process of ongoing self-awareness and self-regulation leads to self-mastery. So what is self-mastery? It can be defined as an advanced ability to align our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, our actions, our personal values with our higher or highest aspirations. And it involves quite a profound level of self-control and understanding that creates a kind of more consistent, intentional living. So self-mastery is the culmination of this process of becoming more self-aware and being able to self-regulate, and you get to a certain point, kind of a peak of personal and spiritual development, where you feel really aware, self-aware, and really in control of your inner experiences and really able to direct your life in a much more meaningful way. So this self-mastery involves a kind of ongoing process, an ongoing practice of aligning our mind, thoughts, our emotions, our behaviors with our deeper sense of self and with our true purpose. And it requires a commitment to personal growth and ongoing continuous practice of self-awareness and self-regulation techniques. But it also requires setting clear goals, cultivating resilience, and developing a sort of sense of inner purpose and discipline. So now there is a continuous cycle between self-awareness and self-regulation, and it's this cycle that leads to self-mastery. And the relationship between these two things is very interesting, and we're going to discuss this now. As we practice self-regulation and we strive to self-mastery, we're going to, of course, deepen self-awareness. And the more self-aware we are, the more we can self-regulate. So this is an ongoing cycle that fosters our continuous growth and refinement. So we can say the progression from self-awareness to self-regulation to self-mastery is kind of logical and sequential. We first need to become self-aware to understand what's going on. Then we can manage and control these states via processes that teach us to self-regulate. And finally, we can use this control to live intentionally and purposefully, which is self-mastery. And while there's a sequence, each stage is also interdependent, because enhanced self-awareness continuously informs and improves self-regulation. And as you self-regulate more, you become more self-aware. So both are essential. It's kind of a cyclical process. And similarly, self-mastery is interdependent on you having self-awareness and self-regulation skills highly honed and developed. And I just briefly want to discuss Big Shakti's approach to self-awareness and self-regulation and some of the meditations and courses that we have. And as I said before, most of the techniques that we teach foster both self-awareness and self-regulation, but they place a very strong emphasis on self-regulation. And this is because cultivating self-awareness is much more difficult than cultivating self-regulation. It's much harder to become aware of the self and consciousness than it is to become aware of energy. And most of us want to have these energetic experiences that make us feel good. We want to feel good. We want our energy to be in a good state. From a self-aware perspective, it doesn't matter what state your energy is in. You're self-aware, your energy is good. If your energy is not so good, like if you have some negative emotions or you have some pain, then you'd prefer not to, but practicing self-awareness, you're just aware of what is arising. But in self-regulation, we try to create a state. We want to feel better. We want to intervene in how we feel. And so we found that most people find it much easier to practice self-regulation. And then once they've exercised a degree of self-control and self-discipline, they're able to make some internal changes to their inner state. And then cultivation of self-awareness is much easier and comes more naturally. The two main techniques that we teach, or the two main courses that we teach that foster self-awareness, are inner silence meditation called Antamon, which cultivates self-awareness by teaching us to observe our thoughts and emotions subjectively, to just stay very present from a very passive position, not to interfere, to simply observe and see what's arising. This is a classical mindfulness practice with that extra element of self being emphasized. And we use yoga nidra, which everyone loves. It's a very powerful relaxation meditation technique that progressively relaxes the mind and the body, and it helps you to feel better. And once you've used yoga nidra to recover from stress and exhaustion, then you can dive deeper into the layers. From the gross energy, you start to feel the subtle energy. Eventually, in the ultimate stages, you can feel your causal energy, all the energies that underlie the body, mind, and spirit. Now, the good thing about yoga nidra is that it's performed in the lying position. And the problem with yoga nidra is that it is performed in the lying position. So most people sleep, they're usually tired and exhausted. But once you've used it for a while and you can recover from exhaustion and stay awake, then yoga nidra is a powerful method of cultivating and strengthening your self-awareness muscles. Because by preventing yourself from sleeping, you're consciously cultivating and strengthening wakefulness and awareness. Now, most of the other techniques on our website foster self-regulation. For example, relaxation techniques, which are essential first steps for self-regulation, the 3C steps for meditation and yoga nidra, they help us to create different energy states, different altered states of body and mind, to relax deeply and to recover energy and strength, to feel good. Most people come out of yoga nidra feeling totally refreshed. And the main technique that we use for most of our patients and students is the japa jap. It's taught in the Healing the Mind course. It focuses on supporting people to create inner strength and good feeling. And it's used in a lot of mental health situations where we're dealing with quite severe mental health problems. And that's because this technique combines several techniques into one unique passage. It uses the breath, prana, life force, mantras, and chakras and visualizations. And this all facilitates healing. And over time, as your energy becomes more balanced and aligned, then your mind, your consciousness evolves and your awareness becomes heightened. The prana and pranic healing techniques are very important. They teach us about how to regulate our life force for health and healing. And the core strength, calm mind practices are the quintessential practices for helping to self-regulate during daily life. I really recommend that series if you want to stay grounded, calm and balanced while you're facing stresses and challenges of daily life. And the other course I just want to really focus on for a moment, emphasize is essential for both self-awareness and self-regulation, is the Find Life Purpose course, which we developed because we found many of our patients and students were unclear about what they wanted in their lives, and this dissipated their energy. And because the self-awareness was lacking, they didn't know who they were and what was good for them or what their purpose was. So the Find Life Purpose course really helps you to become much more self-aware, to focus on who am I, both as a little self and as a big self, and what is my destiny, what am I meant to be on the planet for? So you get this very clear sense of purpose and well-defined goals, and then your energy is much more focused and you can achieve something meaningful and fulfilling in life. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about those courses, and I hope this has helped you to understand this very interesting and fundamental concepts around what yoga and meditation is trying to do: build a sense of consciousness, develop our energy states, and move on a kind of upward path towards a better life, a better sense of who we are, an understanding of who we are, and a better life. Thank you.
If you would like to know more about what we do at Big Shakti, please go to www.bigshakti.com, where you can see all of our products and offerings. And you can sign up for our free newsletter. And when you do sign up, you're entitled to a 15% discount on your first purchase. And subscribers, of course, get generous discounts on all our products from time to time, especially when we release a new course. And we do have courses for everyone, from beginners on the path to yoga teachers and sincere aspirants, and psychologists and therapists and health professionals. And many of our courses are downloadable and can be done in your own time. And we also run live online training every year. All of our courses provide you with the opportunity to experience and understand the powers and mysteries of your mind and spirit. Unwind, take a break from your daily activities, and learn how to use different forms of meditation to achieve inner tranquility, happiness, fulfillment, and spiritual awakening. You will learn the keys to a healthy lifestyle, a calm, clear mind, emotional resilience, and spiritual insight.